Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with myself, Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy. Man, it feels good to be back on, man. Happy New Year to folks, man. Happy New Year to you guys, too, as well. I'll say that to you all non the show, but, you know, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too, Wole.
Appreciate you, man. You all did a splendid job, man. Splendid job.
Yeah, I just need to be respected. Go ahead, Will.
I just need to be respected also, you know, whenever people tweet.
Yeah.
You know, I know I'm not on Twitter, but you need to, like,
acknowledge you.
Me.
Acknowledge you.
My contribution.
Right.
That's all I want. Getting tired of being disrespected.
Who disrespecting you, bruh? Who doing that?
Man, a lot of people, you know, your guys from Football Garbage Time, you know, they came on here years ago. They only spoke to y'all. Now people tweeting about how they like the show. Don't mention me. Tired of being disrespected, man.
Hey, I've never heard that. I know folks love hearing you on the show, man. I've never heard that. This is a first.
Yeah. Just tired of it, that's all.
Dang, bro. Dang.
I forgot. Yeah, I don't know about that. But you're the head of the table right now when it comes to the Pick'em League and the Survivor League. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, man.
Ha-Kun Wong, we apologize, but you lost, bro.
Yeah, man. Take that L in stride. You a little bit
anyway,
too much.
I'm clamoring for respect from Will T for the simple fact that last night, 22.6 million people watched the college football national championship game. People want to see a giant fall, Will. That's why when the Tennessee Titans upset Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, it's going to be the highest rated Super Bowl in years. It matters. People want to see upsets, baby.
People want a good storyline. And a good storyline was Georgia hadn't won a championship in 40-plus years.
I must have missed this conversation. I don't know what's happening right now. Like, did this happen last week?
Yeah, it happened last week. We talked about how people more buy into more of a storyline leading up to the Super Bowl opposed to two insignificant teams where there's no storylines or anything.
Oh, I missed that one. I apologize, folks. I was trying to be a good producer. I guess I wasn't. I thought I paid attention to pretty much everything. I guess not. I need to do better, man. I need to do better. Hey, also, I forgot to mention, we are part of Amp Empire Media, and you can check us out on AmpEmpireMedia.com. Amp Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Football Team insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
This show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire show as well as other great content.
Hey, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
The disrespect has already started because I only have one line opening, but I'll do it. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
You know what? I'm gonna flip that around, dude. I'm gonna edit that. Next week, that's not going to happen. You're right. I apologize. Here's what we have on tap,
man. I just like to point these things out as well.
Look, bro, you're right, man. And I want to make sure that you get your respect, man. All right, we'll recap the Washington Football Team defeating the New York Giants 22-7 and off-season decisions at 8:25. We'll talk about whether the Washington Wizards should trade for Jeremy Grant. He's a local DMV kid, so we'll see what happens with that. At 8:35, we'll talk about the NFL playoff matchups, and finally, we'll talk about Georgia defeating Alabama 33-18 in the college football national championship game, which Ray and Will T were talking about earlier. All right, first, for the last game of the season, the Washington Football Team beat the New York Giants 22-7. In your opinion, how satisfying was this victory for Coach Rivera?
I'll go first. I think on the inside, he giggled a little bit, put in a little bit, actually. Look, no one, Joe Judge, you know, and there was a recent report that Joe Judge has been relieved of his duties as the Giants, as the head coach of the New York Football Giants. The comments he made during his press conference leading up to this game, they were out of line. They were absurd. There was no place for, you know, considering the struggles that his team has gone through these past 2 years, there was no place for any of that headed into this game. Also, on top of that, the performance of this team, you know, since Daniel Jones has been out, has been laughable at best. We talked, you know, he talked about how things were unorganized as a franchise, you know, in Washington, which is true. But those are things that, you know, the NFL coaches is, I get the sense anyway, that it's kind of like a fraternity, right? And you, like, I'm not going to say a brotherhood, but a fraternity where, you know, guys, they go out of their way to not necessarily embarrass or talk bad about another coach. And for him to have those comments in this, I believe, Wednesday press conference before the game, I think is ultimately what sealed his fate in him being let go by the Giants ownership.
Right. Did you answer the question? You want respect?
If you listen, my initial response was, I think that Ron Rivera giggled a little bit on the inside.
Oh, man.
Because I thought he was happy about the win.
Okay. Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
The question was, how satisfying do you think this victory was for Coach Rivera? It wasn't satisfying at all, in my opinion. This is your seventh win for the second year in a row. And what's worse is you played an extra game in this regular season than you did last year. This should not be satisfying at all. Yes, you're happy that your team showed some fight when an opposing coach talked trash. Mike McCarthy did the same thing. You didn't stand up for yourself. At least that's what I thought. So, yeah, maybe he was happy with that. But, of course, you're not satisfied with a 7-win season. That's ridiculous. And, Will T, if you want more lines, baby, you got to come with it, bro.
Whoa, what is happening? I don't know what's going on this show right now.
I know what's happening. I know what's happening. Ron is just upset because his picks, he's buried behind Hakeem Wong and me. That's all. So it's just a little bit of jealousy.
Yo,
I understand it.
This is amazing.
I understand it.
Hey, I actually think that.
Kyle picks. Kyle
picks. Hey, go ahead. I actually think that, you know, it's satisfying to Coach Rivera because if he had lost that game, it would have been even worse, right? Like, in the grand scheme of things, this dude had kind of called you out, called your organization out, and just say you lost that game. Like, what would fans say to that?
Was that a rhetorical question?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was asking the question. I'm putting it back out there. Like, what would fans say to that?
I don't think – I mean, all things considered about how the season's gone for Washington, for the Washington football team, I think they'll just put it on another laundry list of – things that, you know, reasons why they've become more disenfranchised of this organization. Or not this, they've lost interest in this organization.
Yeah.
Bolate, you're a fan of the Washington football team. Will T and I are not. How satisfied were you with the victory? You didn't care that much.
Oh, I didn't care at all. But I just looked at I said it's for Coach Rivera, though. I think that for him, he's trying to create he always says create a vision or create a create an established program or a program that looks successful. And I think that if a coach came out here and disrespected you, I think for him, he needed it. I actually think it was an important victory for him. To me, I think it was a BS game. Like, I didn't care about the game. I barely really watched the game, to be honest with you. But in terms of for him, like, I can only imagine, say a coach, I'm having a terrible season, you know, in terms of what, you know, projection, like in terms of what I did for year one and this, and like you said, Ray, it's an extra game, so in all honesty, you pretty much finished 6-10, right? You got an extra game to go finish 7-10. So, and just in terms of the optics, and then for me, I'm like, dude, like I know how this fan base is going to act. Certain folks in the fan base are going to respond to me because you know what? A lot of people are getting sick of me anyway, and I just lost to a team that looked horrible throughout the season. I mean, for a certain point in the season, look horrible and doesn't even look like an NFL team. And this coach just called the organization out and I lost to this squad. I just thought it would be if I was Coach Rivera, it would be a bad look.
Will T said it best last week. This was a fourth preseason game.
Facts.
This was put to the back of the schedule.
Facts.
And nobody gets up for a preseason game except for people trying to make the roster. So I don't think it was satisfying. But you know what? For some people and or fans or media, analysts, they may feel as though this was a good win for Coach Rivera just based on what you're talking about. Because it's all about Joe Judge disrespect. If Joe Judge didn't say a word,
exactly.
He wouldn't be asking
this question. I totally agree. All right, so the season's over. Rivera has had two losing seasons so far. And I'll start with you, Ray. Should the fan base be confident in his vision?
I'm going to start with y'all. What the hell is the vision? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Because I'm trying to figure out, too.
If you're becoming a team that is defensive-oriented or defensive-first team, and then on the offensive side, you're a run-heavy offense, then, yeah, I see you continuing to invest into your offensive line. I see your game plans being very specific, kind of like the Tennessee Titans, so to speak. Uh-huh. But right now, based on the draft last season and based on what we saw on the field, the inconsistencies and game planning, I don't know what the vision is. Is this a rebuild? Some people saying this isn't a true rebuild because you can't have a young quarterback in a rebuild like this.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, I don't know what his vision is, to be honest. So, no, I'm not confident right now because it's so unclear because of the mixed messages from the coach. I like him personally. I want to say that. It's nothing personal. Same thing with Scott Turner. I don't have anything personal with these guys. It's just on the field, the production hasn't been there, and there's no clear vision, in my opinion.
Ray, you bring up an interesting point on exactly what is the vision of this, you know, this organization, this franchise. You know, when certain coaches, I think when they come in, they kind of bring a program with them, and you know what to expect, right? When it was Joe Gibbs, you knew to expect a strong offensive line, power run game, play action, a quarterback who can make all the pro throws and who can throw the ball deep and throw the ball across the middle. Mike Shanahan, what you expected was the West Coast offense, the zone outside, inside zone running scheme, and some proficiency at the quarterback position. Ron Rivera, he has, I believe it was seven or eight plus seasons in Carolina. Uh-huh. I don't know necessarily that he established a identity in Carolina, as a coach. So when Ray says, what is the vision for this team? I don't know. And I don't think fans really know, right? you mentioned, Ray, you know, is this going to be a strong defensive team and they're going to be run heavy, kind of like what they do in Baltimore. All right, if that's the case, you know, you have a guy, Antonio Gibson, who looks to be a top back, ascending running back.
Uh-huh.
He looks to be an ascending young running back. You still have to sign Brandon Scherff long term. And there's still holes across that offensive line. So exactly what is the vision for this team? You know, I know he wants to create a winning culture and guys who are accountable on and off the field, but okay, that's just saying a lot. That's saying something without giving us any meaning to anything.
Exactly.
Right? So what type of team do you want to build? And it'd be interesting going into year three, what he does with key positions such as quarterback, such as left tackle, such as cornerback. And I'll be interested to see what the vision is. But if you to answer the question, am I confident in his vision? I can't necessarily say I am because I don't know what the vision is, much like Ray.
All right, so I asked the fan base, what is your confidence level of Coach Rivera's vision? I mean, you can and this is posted on our various different platforms, Twitter and our Facebook page, and also our Instagram page. On from Facebook, Rob Anthony posted level 7. If they get a QB and stay healthier next year, then they will win 10 games plus. From Instagram, the homie Reggie Woodson said, "Look at the Staley kid of the LA Chargers going for it on fourth down cost them more than one game plus a playoff berth, and he's got all the pieces. For what it's worth, Ron is a 500 coach with a respectable team culture. He needs a legit difference maker under center.
He's not a 500 coach. Stop
I know. Hey, bruh, look, I'm just reading it, bruh. Or they could keep rotating guys at quarterback and head coach without a capable quarterback, it's all for naught. My man on Instagram, Rodney, said negative zero level of confidence in Coach, Coach Rivera. And from Twitter, the homie Mike Hall tweeted, 6 out of 10 if he can't find a QB, 8 out of 10 if he can find a top 16 QB for the 2022 season. We have an above average O-line. The weapons are above average when healthy. Still want a legit number two wide receiver, and I have faith that the defense will get right with a pretty easy quarterback schedule to build their confidence up next year, which I do agree. They'll have a lower tier schedule, so the quarterbacks that they see won't be like they saw this season. But
he was right. He is an above 500 coach. Uh-huh. If you take his season,
Carolina,
he was 76-73 and one, which is a 546 winning percentage. Yeah. And in Washington, he's 14-19, which is a 424 overall. He's 90-82-1, 523 winning percentage. Hard to believe, but you know.
No, I,
it is what it is,
bro. Like, I'm only going off of, like, for me. So this is the thing. Like, Will, you had a great point. I'm going off the Washington stuff, not even going off the Carolina stuff, because and I know Ray. You know, we've talked about this prior. We all have talked about it prior, though. In Carolina, he didn't draft Cam Newton. You know, that wasn't a thing that he built in. So he came in with that talent there anyway. I don't think he was a part of the draft that got Luke Kuechly either, if my memory serves me correctly. So even in that situation, I don't look at Coach Rivera as an individual that kind of built the Carolina Panthers program. You know what I mean? Like, he enhanced it, yes. Obviously, he enhanced it, but he didn't build the program. Here, you're asking, Will, to your point, Will, you're asking a guy who went relatively barely over 500 to run the whole organization in terms of being the basically running for front office stuff and also being the head coach. Usually that goes to a Super Bowl winning coach, right? Or a coach who's probably done it all before, right? But you're asking a guy who's barely over 500 to run the whole thing and come up with a plan to create a winning culture. That's the problem.
All right. Well, a couple of our listeners or a couple of people who responded to the question, they talked about the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. So we know obviously the team needs a quarterback. What should be who should the team target in the offseason?
To me, they should target a veteran quarterback in draft. I like Will. I like what you mentioned in terms of drafting a quarterback and the Willis kid out of Liberty. I like that idea. If you just got to bring in a veteran quarterback who's going to start, and who Ron and Scott Turner are probably comfortable with, then and have Turner draft the kid, Willis, to just kind of learn and not rush him in. Something like what the San Francisco 49ers are doing with Trey Lance. You may want to get a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo. What they have right now is better than any quarterback outside of this organization is damn near better. You can bring back Kirk Cousins for all I care, for real. Like, it's better than this.
So let me ask you guys this question. Considering you're in year three of I know he doesn't want to use the term rebuild, but let's call it what it is.
It's a rebuild.
A rebuild. Yeah, you know, you're rebuilding the culture, you're rebuilding the operations from, you know, inside. Do you think this team is better off with a veteran quarterback or drafting the guy who can come in day one and be the starter?
I think the way they started, they have to get a veteran quarterback. Because to me, if you're going to start a program, you should have did this earlier. Like, you could have drafted a quarterback earlier. You know what I mean? Like, you're in year three. Typically in any coaching, you know, when a new coach comes into town, like, the year three is the year that you want to kind of ascend. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to pretty much have a quarterback. If you start you say you start the rookie, he's going to struggle. Then it's like, all right, it's going to set you back a couple more years, right? So, and every situation isn't like 2012, but there's no offensive juggernaut mind like Kyle and Mike Shanahan in the building. It's a fact. So you're not going to 2012, you're not going to get a quarterback and tailor a system. You're going to have the whole RG3 effect. That's not going to happen here. So to be real with you, you're better off going and getting a veteran quarterback.
Yeah, and I think I got two names, brother. Teddy Bridgewater, we'll let you know I mentioned that already. Vic Fangio said he was the unquestionable leader in the locker room. He was also awarded the Darren Williams, you remember him out in Denver, the Good Guy Award this season for his interactions with the media. 18 touchdown passes, which was a career high in the 14 games he played because, you know, he had two concussions this season.
Yeah.
And when he went out, the Broncos were in that last playoff spot at 7-6. And arguably, they could have fought for that last playoff spot in the second toughest division in football. Teddy Bridgewater is great. Mitch Trubisky is the second one. I know people don't like that, but he's mobile, and he's someone that's better than what you have on his roster right now, and he might be available.
All right, well, let me ask you, I'm going to ask you this question, right? Do you think that Mitch Trubisky or Teddy Bridgewater are that great or that much better than what Taylor Heineke's potential with another year in this system?
Hell
yeah. All right, well, there you go.
Hell yeah. I'll take anybody. I'm going to say it again, bro. I'll take anybody. But, you know, the question – see, you know what? The question's a little different, though. Like who's the OC mixing everything, bro? But, yeah, hell yeah. Talent-wise, hell yeah. I'm sorry. I'll just keep that a buck.
Teddy Bridgewater is smarter.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater can actually –
He can make some NFL throws. He can make some NFL throws. Legit NFL throws.
Teddy Bridgewater is a flat-out winner. Has been since college.
Facts.
Taylor Heineke, he's somebody who you love the Rudy stories, but you know Teddy Bridgewater, fan.
Rudy story.
He's a Rudy story, bro. Like, that's why everybody loves him so much. I actually had somebody on Twitter was like, you know, he's been in the system so he can be the veteran quarterback. I'm like, bro, if he don't shut the hell up, like, what you mean he could be the veteran quarterback on this? Have you not watched enough? Did you not watch both Cowboy games for real? Like, did you not? Kyle Allen is Bama. Are you serious?
Okay, that was my next question. Before we get out of here, I know we gotta go to break for the next segment.
Yeah.
If they are able to bring a quarterback from the outside, do you think they go with an open competition between Kyle Allen and Taylor Heineke?
No, it shouldn't be an open competition. It should just be the veteran quarterback. These dudes ain't worth it. Like, there's a problem with this regime, man. They keep trying to live with Carolina dudes. They need to stop this crap, man, for real. Like, no disrespect, because I don't know. This dude seems like a very nice guy, but I just got to keep it a buck the way I talk. Like, you know trash when you see trash. Don't stop it, man. Like, don't do this. Like, no, he's not the one. He's a great story, like Ray said, Rudy. I love the movie, man. You know what I'm saying? I love Rudy. He was on the Goonies, too. I love that dude. But nah, bro. Nah, he ain't the one. He's definitely not the one. All right, let's go to another Washington team. Should the Washington Wizards trade for local product Jeremy Grant? We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
The Ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
EmpireMedia.com.
Okay, you are listening to Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Ray, and myself, Will T, part of Empire Media. That's EmpireMedia.com.
All right, Wole, you set the stage before the break. Should the Washington Wizards trade for Detroit Pistons for Jeremy Grant? You answered my question for me last segment. I'm answering yours. Hell no. Go ahead, though.
You said hell no. Everybody on Twitter, like, they want this dude, man. Like, that's all I'm hearing. All I'm seeing is Jeremy Grant this, Jeremy Grant that. Ray, you're the Wizards fan. Like, why? Why wouldn't you want a Jeremy Grant?
Oh, because there's better options. I'm a fan of Jeremy Grant. Don't get it twisted. But at the same time, you got DeMontis Sabonis on the trading block. According to rumors, the Pacers tried to trade Sabonis to the Sixers for Ben Simmons, and the Sixers declined. When you have Montrezl Harrell, who has that expiring contract, you have two young pieces in Rui or Denny that you could potentially move with Harrell. DeMontis Sabonis becomes an option. Of course, like I told you before, if Brad does not commit the Philadelphia 76ers want Bradley Beal, and they will send Ben Simmons down this way. You add Simmons and Sabonis to this squad with Denny. Oh, my goodness. The size, you get Thomas Bryant back. You got Gafford in the middle. You still got KCP defensively. This squad would be dope. They can still shoot. You got Kispert coming off the bench. I don't like a deal for Jeremy Brand just because I want these two guys more. That's it. Okay. Nothing personal. I like his father too.
Who Will? What do you? What about your thoughts on Jeremy Grant? Do you think that'd be a good ad? Or do you agree?
No,
with
I'm not. I don't agree with Ray as strongly. But I have a question, you know, exactly who or what do you give up for Jeremy Grant, right? I look at this roster, you know, do you give up Rui? Do you give up Denny? You know, Ray mentioned Montrezl Harrell has an expiring contract, but exactly who could you give up a value to bring in Jeremy Grant? And then I also have the question of, okay, if you don't move Kuzma, then you essentially have got two guys that play whose game is very similar, right? And it's very similar in the fact that, you know, they're both guys who could play the three or the four. They could be either a stretch three, you know, a stretch four, but those, they aren't necessarily guys who make plays for others. And so that just makes another mouth to feed from the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, Jeremy Grant's a good player. Like, and you know, obviously having a local kid back here would be dope. But to your point, like, you already have guys who are playing, you know, good basketball. And Kyle Kuzma, and they play similar positions. So I don't know if it's a great fit. And also, you got Bradley Beal, who's still, to be real with you, still so ball dominant. And in Detroit, he's doing a lot in Detroit in terms of having the ball in his hand. So I don't know if the fit would be the same.
No, I agree with you. You know, well, let's say that in Denver, you know, is when he's really started to kind of, you know, ascend.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't have the ball in his hand a lot when he was
True.
In Denver.
True.
So, you know, he has a track record of being able to play with good offensive players. You know, in Denver he had Jokic, and then he also had Jamal Murray.
Uh-huh.
So he had good offensive players, and he was able to find a spot for himself. But when you come to the Wizards, you know, with – Bradley Beal being so ball dominant, and then you also have Spencer Dinwiddie who has the ball also.
Yeah.
You know exactly how, and you know, this isn't a knock against the current coaching staff, but I haven't been impressed with what I've seen from like an offensive set perspective.
Uh-huh.
How will you be able to integrate him into the offense? Right, would be the bigger question.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. How does he fit with the? With the pieces. I mean, I could say, I mean, to your point, though, you mentioned the Denver element, knowing that Wes Unseld Jr. comes from Denver, so he probably has some familiarity with him. But I don't know. It's just a different fit. And the way Denver played ball was a little bit more free-spirited. And also, you had a great passer in the Joker, right? So he could, when he made his cuts, he was getting that ball for a dunk, right? And he obviously expanded his jump shot, his jumper, in terms of, you know, shooting a three ball and adding more range to his game. But it's just a different element. You don't have a playmaker on this team. Like, a playmaker, what I mean by that is an assist man compared to what you saw in Denver. So I don't know it would be the same fit even compared to Denver, no, even with Wes Unseld Jr. coming from that organization.
Also, this is a business, and that's the part that many fans are missing. The ratings for Washington Wizards basketball games are not the best. The attendance is lackluster. If you want to put people in the seats, you got to bring in some bigger names, and you got to have a better product on the court. And I think, again, the two names I mentioned is a way to do that.
Yeah.
Just imagine if you had Sabonis at the three and or Kyle Kuzma at the three, Sabonis at the four, Gafford at the five. You got Ben Simmons at the one, and you got KCP at the two. People are going to want to come see that team. People are going to want to tune in nationally, not just here. I don't know if Jeremy Grant coming in makes you say, oh, you know what, the Wizards, yes, they're making great moves. I love Tommy Shepard. Let's watch a Wizards game. Let's get some tickets. Let's go get some food. Let's go watch a Wizards game. No, heck no. I like Jeremy Grant to play. I love the way he's improved, the way he's grown into a very solid NBA player, but I'm just saying from many perspectives, including the entertainment and business perspective, it just does not make sense to me.
Facts, facts. All right, so on Facebook, on our Facebook page, Aaron Jones said, yes, trade Bertans and Rui. Also, on from Twitter, the homie Cameron tweeted, I would trade Thomas Bryant, Davis Bertans, and our first round pick to acquire Jeremy Grant, and don't be surprised if Danny gets involved too. Also on Twitter, in response to Cameron, at BFL Sports tweeted, I don't know if Detroit would go for that, but I would take it.
Listen, Detroit, what? no one else is taking Davis Bertans' contract. We are the only idiots that would give him this contract. No one else is taking that contract unless you attach a first round pick along, a lottery pick along with that. No one's taking a 5-year, $80 million contract for Davis Bertans. What, with three more years on it? No, no one's taking that contract, man.
And you better not give a first round pick for Jeremy. I'm sorry, that's just not smart. And Cameron, know I rock with him too. Like, I appreciate it, but I just don't agree in this case.
Will Cameron, shut that thing down ASAP. Hey, man, we'll talk about the NFL playoffs after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeti.
Deuces on AmpireMedia.com.
Too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for this ice, too sexy for that jack, yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for this chain, too sexy for your game, too sexy for this fame, yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for the trap, too sexy for that cap, too sexy for that jack, yeah, yeah.
Okay, alright, that's fine, okay, okay. Feeling too sexy to accept requests.
Way too sexy.
And I'm way too sexy to go unprotected.
Way too sexy.
And she popped a Tesla, now she gonna let you. Okay, alright, that's fine, okay. Think we got too sexy for that metro housing.
Way too sexy.
Diamond popped out, almost swallowed 60,000.
60 pieces.
Section need more things in here, I like it crowded.
Hey. Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, I like it crowded. Oh, you like the boy? Well, tell me what you like about him. You a turnt, a little thotty, ain't no wife about it. I'm a friends and send her back to metro housing.
Yeah, I'm too sexy for this sir, too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for this life, too sexy for that jack. Yeah, yeah, I'm too sexy for this chain, too sexy for your game.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole, part of Ampire Media, and that's at AmpireMedia.com.
Fellas, which playoff game this weekend? We're talking the NFL. Are you most excited to watch? The matchups are Raiders versus the Bengals, Patriots, Bills, Eagles, Buccaneers, 49ers, Cowboys, Steelers, Chiefs, Cardinals, Rams, Will T.
Even though it doesn't, you know, it lacks that history that it had as a rivalry during the early 90s, I'm excited to watch the 49ers versus the Cowboys.
Yeah,
it's
a dope one.
It's not, you know, for, you know, all of us 80s babies. You know, we remember, huh?
I said, damn, getting old. Go ahead, dog.
For all of us 80s babies, we remember, you know, those 49ers Cowboys games during the 90s where they, you know, in the playoffs when they meant something, when it was essentially a rivalry because they met, you know, because these were two of the better teams in the NFC, so they will always meet during the regular season, then most likely they would meet in the playoffs. This year it's a different tune, with both of them being in the wild card and neither one of them playing, you know, in the playoffs, versus each other in recent history. But one of the things that these two teams do have that those 90s teams highlight are explosive offenses. Kyle Shanahan, that 49ers offense, how they attack defenses with the personnel and in different formations. And then the Cowboys wide receivers, with, excuse me, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Cedric Wilson, and then you have the two tight ends. And then, you know, in both of the running backs with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, it's a game that could, you know, potentially be the best game of the weekend, in my opinion.
Oh, for me, I'm just excited to see the Bengals play. They have all the weapons, man. You used to see what Jamar Chase did. Man, he had like a Madden day. Was that the last game of the year for them, or was that the second to last game? Whatever, he had like a Madden day where he had like almost 300 yards receiving or something like that. So I want to see how, you know, all those weapons, how they perform against, you know, the Raiders, who got in on an exciting game against the Chargers, who made it into the postseason. I think that, and they have, you know, they have their own, like Will was talking about, a storyline. They do have, there's a storyline within them, knowing that what happened with their head coach, John Gruden, and they were still able to make it to the postseason with all, you know, all the turmoil within that organization. So, the Bengals, I think that game's going to be exciting. I just think that, you know, there's so many weapons the Bengals have. Higgins, Chase, Boyd, Mixon, Burrow, the quarterback. I mean, they loaded as a squad. They're a dangerous team, a very dangerous team. So that's the matchup I'm excited to see.
I am going to go with Patriots-Bills in this third matchup. Of course, the infamous three-pass game for Mac Jones and the victory for the New England Patriots. That man went 2 of 3 for 19 yards and 1. How disrespectful is that? You know the Bills do not like the Patriots. And I'm interested to see what the GOAT does in terms of adjustments, because Josh Allen comes to Foxborough and he torches the Patriots a few weeks later. 3 touchdowns, 30 of 47 for 314 yards. I'm excited to see how Bill Belichick approaches this matchup. The Bills are the better team. We know this. Yeah. The Bills actually have a chance, if we're being honest with ourselves, to go to the Super Bowl, just like many other teams, because there's no front runner, Will. But anyway, this is the most the division matchup, and it's the most intriguing of the weekend, in my opinion.
I was going to go back to your Cowboys game. I do think it's going to be an interesting game because, in the standpoint of, you know, the Cowboys got so much love by blowing out the Washington football team, which is trash. The Eagles, who didn't have anybody, and they got 50. But when they started playing, when they played a team like the Cardinals, they lost. You know what I mean? So it's the Cowboys still, with what they did to get into the postseason, that nice stretch, they played a lot of lackluster teams, but when they did play a good team, they had issues, and now they're going to play they're all in the playoffs. They're going to play a good team, especially in a battle-tested NFC West. So I'm interested to see how they play against the San Francisco 49ers. Like you said, Kyle Shanahan, man, he knows how to scheme up offense in terms of doing everything out of one formation, and he's going to be obvious. And to me, the linebackers are going to be tested because you're going against one of the best tight ends in the game for the 49ers. Kittle. So Kittle, George, yeah. Kittle. So they tough, and Deebo Samuels is a monster. There's a lot that the Cowboys have to worry about, and we all watched the game against the Rams. That defense was hitting. Their defense smacks, so that game is going to be challenging.
All right, but before we get into this next question, I have a question that's not on the outline for you guys. How do you all feel about this Monday night playoff game to 3 games on Saturday and 3 games on Sunday?
Oh, do I even know that it's a Monday night playoff game? That's what they're doing.
Yes, the Cardinals and the Rams are the Monday night playoff game.
Oh my god,
so you'll have. So you'll have 3 games Saturday. You'll have 3 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday, 1 game on MLK Day, Monday at 8:15.
The NFL is awesome. They are the same people that put the draft night, the first round draft night, on Thursday night, and it was a ratings winner. The NFL knows what they're doing. I believe that it's going to be fine. People are going to tune in. It's going to be one of the biggest programs on TV that night. And hopefully, just like the national championship had success this past Monday, can replicate that.
Good point. That's a very good point. I mean, the NFL changes so much. Like 17 games now. I guess there's a game on Monday night. I guess it's dope. I mean, it's Monday night, right? Monday night football. It goes hand in hand to what we've seen, what we watch throughout our years growing up of watching football in terms of regular season play. So I guess adding that element into the postseason shouldn't be a big issue. I just think, you know, I mean, I like change, but not to that extreme. changes, their change is a little bit too extreme for me at times. So, but it'll work. I agree, right? It'll work. I think it'll work.
I think it'll work, but I think it takes away kind of the, it gives a team, you know, the team who plays the winner of the Cardinals-Rams game the competitive advantage.
Definitely.
Because, you know, their game is at Monday night. Well, it'll be, you know, it's Monday evening. It'll be Monday afternoon, you know, when they play the game. So, I think if the winner of that Cardinals-Rams game next week, when they play, I believe the is it the Packers? No.
That winner that game?
It might be the Packers.
I gotta check the actually I gotta check the seedings. But you know, it all changes though. You know, it all changes depending on which team wins and loses and stuff sometimes.
Yeah. But I think it creates a competitive advantage for that team, you know, who has to buy. And I don't know, maybe, you know, it's a bit of tradition, nostalgia. I used to look forward to having three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday.
I agree.
For wild card weekend.
No, I agree. I wonder how do they choose which team plays on Monday then? I'm just trying to figure out how they choose that.
I don't know. The NFL doesn't tell us anything, man. They just say, here, watch.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure
out,
like,
expect you not to ask questions.
Is it because, like, the seeding? I'm just trying to figure that out. I'm like, how do you even do, like, how do you decide if it's not going to be on the AFC side? You know what I mean? Like,
I get it. Fair question. All right, let's get to our next question. Mm-hmm. All right. Who do you guys have going to the Super Bowl?
Like, Ray, you can start it.
Okay. So I gave a teaser when the show started, and I'm going with the Tennessee Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ric Flair said it. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
As long as
Tom Brady is lining up behind center, I'm going to pick him to go to the Super Bowl. And right now, with Julio Jones appearing to be healthy and possibly getting Derrick Henry back healthy, the Tennessee Titans are going to be scary in these playoffs, my friend.
All right, so I got a rematch. You know what I'm saying? I like your Titans pick, but I got a rematch when Kurt Warner won that bowl when somebody was like 1 yard short. I am going to go with the Titans versus the Rams. I like that matchup. I think that's going to – I like the Rams star power. I like the players the Rams got. I thought, like, Von Miller, Aaron Donald, you know what I mean? I think Matthew Stafford makes enough plays to help them out, and they find their running game with Sony Michel. I think Beckham's going to have a huge playoffs for this team. So I'm going to go with the Rams and Titans in the bowl.
I'm not giving my pick because my ops might be listening.
Oh, you know what? Facts, bro. You know what? You're right. Good job, Will T. Don't give your picks out. I'm on your side on this one, bro. Don't give your picks out.
Okay.
Hey, but on front.
But I will say this. It'll be a matchup of two of the best quarterbacks in the league. I'll just say that.
All right. What the hell? Hey.
That could be Aaron.
I don't know who that could be. I'm trying to figure it out. Could it be Josh? Is it Josh Allen? Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, listen, I gave a clue.
Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. I gave a clue.
You did.
Thanks, Will.
Appreciate you, man. Hey, from Instagram, Karita Parks, Hamus Parks, said, I really think it could be anybody. I have a feeling it's going to be two teams we don't expect.
That's a
Wilty
answer, right?
I know, bro.
Listen, the Titans, I think, you know, that is a Wilty answer, yes. But I think one of the teams that, you know, both of you guys picked, the Titans, are definitely one of those teams. I think people aren't necessarily thinking of them currently.
Yeah.
As a Super Bowl contender, one, because Derrick Henry has been injured. Mm-hmm. And two, you know, we haven't seen the best of Julio Jones. And Julio Jones, you know, this past week played his best game as a Titan.
Tracks.
So he's starting to ascend in that play, and he's starting to get better.
I know. Only that fool played playing a regular season like that for my fantasy football team, I would have some money. Just all jacked. I wish Julio was healthy. You really messed me up. Hey, I'm going to read a tweet from our prior segment about Jeremy Grant. Big Ed tweeted, I trade one of either Kuzma, Denny, or Rui along with cash consideration and whatever first round pick they want and call it a day.
I can't see giving up a first round pick. I don't see giving up a first round pick for Jeremy Grant, even though he is on the younger side and he hasn't come into his prime per se. He's only 27 and he's about to hit his prime. I still can't see giving up a first round pick.
I appreciate you for listening, brother. I appreciate you for your comment.
Definitely, man.
Yeah, check us out, of course.
Definitely. Marie, one more tweet before we go to break. It's about the Washington football team segment about Ron Rivera and his vision. At HMBrewer72 tweeted, I do actually believe that Ron has a plan and goals unlike previous regimes. However, the execution so far has been so-so.
What the hell is the plan then?
I'm trying to figure it out, man. No one's ever really giving me an idea what this plan is. No, I mean, listen, what the plan is.
He said he wants to change the culture on and off the field.
He wants guys to be accountable.
On and off the field. Right. That's understandable. That's cool.
But how?
But what is the plan from an X and O football and personnel perspective?
Dude, that's all I want to know, bro. That's what I want to know, too. Anyway, man, Georgia beat Alabama last night 33-18 to be the college football national champions. We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces on AmpireMedia.com.
Georgia, 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 Georgia.
We on the grinding,
Georgia,
all the time. It ain't nothing on my mind, but
Georgia.
We ain't playing with you. We on the grinding,
Georgia,
all the time. It ain't nothing on my mind, but
Georgia.
We ain't playing with you.
Country name, country slang, fiends at the liquor store. Black cruising, crap shooting, 50 on the 10 or 4. Overcast, the forecast shows clouds from plenty. And we ready for war in the state of
Georgia.
Yeah, dirty words, dirty birds, it's mean in this dirty south. You ever disrespect it, and we'll clean out your dirty mouth. Bulldogs clocking, these lookout boys is hawking. You gotta be brave in the state of
Georgia.
I got 5 Georgia homes where I rest my Georgia bones. Come anywhere on my land. To Georgia Dome. If you get in an altercation, just hop on your mobile phone and tell somebody you need help in the middle of
Georgia.
We some ATL thrashers. Scope your pumpkin and smash ya. We'll come through your hood worse than a tsunami disaster. Don't know who they gonna get or who them robbers gonna hit. That's why I keep my Georgia check in the state of
We are back, and if you're still tuned in to our podcast at this point, man, we really appreciate you because you're hanging in there with us. As we look to close this show out, Mariano Rivera, who are some other good closers that I can think of? We're going to go local. Chad Cordero, you listen to the Urban Sports Team, of course. Wole, Will T, and Ray, part of Empire Media, empiremedia.com. Last night, Kirby Smart. He finally did it, fam, in the college football national championship game. He defeated his mentor, Nick Saban, as the Georgia Bulldogs defeated the Alabama Crimson Tide 33-18. What were your thoughts on the game? We'll start with you, Wole.
Initially it was a defensive struggle. Bama was up, but it was a field goal game. I just thought, you could just tell SEC football is just a different breed. Like the athletes, the speed. The way they play defense, I'm talking about the top tier teams like Bama and Georgia. Those two teams were meant to be in that game. I was a Michigan fan. I saw what Georgia did to Michigan, and you could just tell Michigan didn't belong in that game. And if they even got lucky, they got smacked by Bama. So the two best teams in the country played against each other. Georgia just had a little bit more, and I felt like with Georgia losing to Bama in the SEC championship game, there was a little more fuel to the fire. Obviously, the injury to the wide receiver, Williams, one of a top-tier wide receiver, him going down made things easier. I think you saw the true freshman wide receiver come into the game and struggle, had a bunch of key drops. And I think that hurt Bama, too, to kind of keep the momentum and, even pull out a victory. But Georgia had, Georgia played well, especially with Dalvin Cook's little brother having that big explosive play. I don't think it was a 67-yard run to kind of give Georgia the momentum. But I thought it was a well-played game. Just thought Georgia's defense made enough plays to win that football game and to become national champions.
The game was too damn long, in my opinion.
College football games are long in general because of that. Get a first down and the clock stops.
Get a first down and the clock stops and all those damn commercials because you're trying to capitalize off of the game and the sponsorships, man. But outside of that, it was a well-played game. It was an entertaining game, specifically the second half. The first half was a defensive struggle, which I think a lot of people thought it would be. Bryce Young, he had some untimely turnovers, but that's part of the maturation process, and he'll learn from it. If we look at his play this year, he'll learn from it, and he'll become a better player next year and help lead Alabama probably back to the college football playoffs. But congratulations to Kirby Smart and Georgia. All year, everyone's raved about that Georgia defensive line and that Georgia defense Monday night, they definitely came to play. And like Wole said, Dalvin Cook's younger brother, that run was probably the highlight or probably the second biggest play of the game. The first biggest was the final pick six.
Yeah.
To seal the game for Georgia. But it was a well-contested game, entertaining, but too damn long if you ask me. 4 hours, man. Get out of here with that on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Nah.
I want to give the quarterback, Bennett, some love because, you know, he had a tough go about it initially in that game, and then he made a couple big plays. Obviously, the bomb for that touchdown pass. I forget the wide receiver. I'm not sure what the wide receiver's name, but Pickens, thank you. The bomb to Pickens to get that touchdown, which they needed. So he had a big play. I think he was offensive MVP, right? Offensive player of the game, right?
Stetson Bennett?
Yeah.
I believe so.
So, yeah, and, you know, he doesn't have all the NFL arm or, you know, like this, you know, the, you know, speed of a, you know, like the, a 4-5 running quarterback.
Look, he's like a Rudy.
Yeah, right? He is a Rudy. Like, real talk, he's a Rudy.
It's the story. It's the story that people are going to buy into. A kid who went through all those heartaches to persevere, and you know, not be a top, you know, not be a 5-star recruit on the top team in the nation.
I think he's a walk-on.
Yeah, he's a walk-on. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a walk-on, and he led this team to a national championship after all of the trials and tribulations. It's a great story that people will talk about for years and years.
Yeah, you like seeing that emotion too, man. The boy was crying. You know what I mean. And you could tell obviously he won the championship, but, you know, initially, you know, he had that key fumble. So I'm sure he was thinking to himself, like, I may have lost this game for my team. And then to make a couple big plays and to become a national champion and to be on that stage, you kind of like him. You end up like, you watching that game, you kind of root for him like a Rudy. It's the Rudy story. But this Rudy won a championship. Not just he didn't just get one tackle. This one won a championship.
Yeah.
Oh man. I think it's hilarious. I think it's funny that Will T was complaining about Tom when he watched the Zack Snyder Justice League which was longer than the game.
I love that joint. Hey, are we criticizing it? Are we criticizing it? Because I like that. I mean, I love that joint.
I watched it once.
I told you
I will never watch it again.
Oh, I watched that thing twice, and I'll watch it again, bruh. And I will watch that thing again. Go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
also, just as a Falcons fan, I want to say, don't tell me that
the curse.
Football fans and sports fans in general aren't passionate in that area, in the Georgia area, the Atlanta area. Because, come on now, they showed out all over the country. Georgia fans poured in online, on social media. A lot made it to the stadium at Lucas Oil in Indianapolis to watch that. So I don't want to hear that no more. But what was crazy is, as I'm watching this game, you know our age, guys. We watched some good defensive football in college growing up. The Big Ten, you know, Charles Woodson. Larry Foote, two names that come to mind. And I was watching all these missed tackles last night. Like, Georgia missed a ton of tackles, even though they're a strong defensive team. However, they always clamped down in the red zone. Always last night. And I thought that was dope because Bryce Young is amazing. I don't know if y'all noticed, even in a losing effort last night, he played a really good game. He didn't have his top receiver, of course, but the back shoulder throw he made, the reads, how he has the escapability aspect. He's got the arm. I was highly impressed with how he played in a game where there was a lot of adversity going against him, and he almost led his team to a victory despite the injuries. So shout out to Bryce Young. He's going to be a dope NFL quarterback, and I think he just solidified himself as one of those guys who cannot just be a good player, but he's also a leader on the Alabama team. He might be better than Tua, I'm not sure, because Tua had such a strong IQ in college, as well as a really good arm and accuracy. But I liked what he did in Alabama. Of course, they're the standard in college football, and that's what Kirby Smart is trying to replicate, and he finally got over the hump. So, again, shout out to him.
And you know what was dope, though? You saw Nick Saban after the game when they embraced him and Kirby Smart. He was happy for him. And you rarely see Nick Saban smile. Like, that dude was grinning. I was like, damn, that's different. Well,
on a side note, I was doing some research, about both coaches before we started the show. Mm-hmm. Do you know what Nick Saban's favorite type of jokes are?
Nah, what was his favorite jokes?
The D's nuts joke.
Are you serious?
I lied to you. Now, do the research. Do the research. Evidently, he says those jokes
weird.
A lot.
That's during, weird.
I lie to you not. Do the research. If you Google, do the research. He says those jokes a lot to his players during practice.
That's weird as hell.
I'm just telling you.
There's so much that I want to say.
Will T came out of left field that way.
I know, I ain't gonna lie, but there's so much. I don't even know how to respond to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know what to say to
that. I just think you just closed the show off of that.
I know we just gonna close it off of that, right? You're right. That's what we're gonna do. All right, so I want to make sure I say this again. Once again, we want to congratulate Ray and I. We want to congratulate Will T. Some round of applause to Will T. For winning Urban Sports Scene versus Football Garbage Time Pick'em Challenge. Yes, it's over. It's over, Football Garbage Time. It's over. There's no loophole, playoffs, whatever. You can do anything you want. It's
Hakeem
over.
Trump.
You know what I'm saying?
Trump don't want to concede.
Yes, you need to concede, bro. All right, this is not the election. You need to concede, bro.
Will hey. T. Biden.
Exactly. And you can see Will T. being celebrated on the Football Garbage Time website. All you got to do is go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. All right? There's going to be a trophy next to him. Will should give him a picture. You know what I'm saying? With you just cheesing with a fake-ass trophy or something. It'd be amazing, bro.
I think we should hack their site and we should put that up.
Yes, we should, man. We need to do that, man. We definitely need to do that. So, again, once again.
If Hakeem won, we're giving you to the end of the week to concede.
Yes, to concede.
If you don't concede, we're going to hack your site, and I am going to get a picture with me and a trophy on your site.
Some real stuff is happening right now, dude. Some real stuff is happening. So, Hakeem Wan, make sure you're listening in. You got a week, right, Will T? A week. You got a strong week,
bro. He got a week until the start of our next podcast,
bro. So you better deliver, or we hacking. We hacking. All right, so deliver. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. We're growing, man. We're doing big things. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Empire Media, at empiremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Ampire shows as well as other great content. We appreciate everybody for listening. I love being back. I love being with the fellas. You know what I'm saying? Producer work is cool too. I like doing that stuff. That was amazing. But appreciate everybody for tuning in. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeti.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.